Yes, welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. We're all swaying to the evil rhythms of the Dark Mark Show theme, courtesy of Kevin Krohn. Thank you. Sorry we're late. That was my fault. Google Maps failed me again. But we're going to get right into it because we got a great show. We have a literary show.
Wow, literally.
Yes. Literary means things that you read. Is that's what it is.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Thank you for explaining that.
And also we're going to talk Comic-Con and pop culture and whatever we can squeeze into 43
minutes. Because most of our listeners, you know, they turn in for... You know.
That's of course my co-host Josie. Josie, you want to say hello to the dark minions out there?
Now we're gonna hello, smart dark minions.
Yes, and because I don't want you
who could read.
I don't want you to insult our new fans in Turkey and Algeria. I was looking at the statistics. We're really going worldwide.
Oh, yeah. My boyfriend found me.
I didn't know you were going out in Algerian. Right next to you, we have Xavier Axelson.
Yes,
did I pronounce that right, Xavier?
Perfect.
Oh, great. And he is not only a columnist for Examiner.com, but he has a very interesting past. There's a lot of things going on there.
Uh-oh.
He's very well known for his erotica writing, and his horror werewolf novel, Lily, has just been reissued, and we're glad to have him. Plus, he had the great taste of featuring me in a column at Examiner.com. And right next to him, and she's, yes, getting a little jealous because I'm just gushing over Xavier. We love her, our friend, which she hasn't been on for a while. Last time you were on, I think your hair was dark.
Mm-hmm.
The beautiful comic book artist. She was a journalist back in the day. Probably still dabbles in that. And she has a new horror novella, which is called Killing Jars. And, of course, the beautiful Nicole Six.
Hello.
What is that tiny little book you held up? Is that for Barbies?
It's for the Bar Sinister release party or the anniversary party.
How cute! Let me see that.
Do your Barbies read? Is that what happens?
My Barbies are intelligent,
literate Barbies.
Although I can't read this because I'm blind.
Right.
But this is awesome.
I have to make 450 of them.
This is great. She
really?
Hand makes them all
I understand.
With her love and her fingers.
She showed me that. Oh. Yes.
You could do some dirty ones.
I could. Yes. Leave them in bathrooms across LA. Yeah.
I don't know if that's in the plans, but yeah. I think,
tiny erotica.
See, now you're going to get to the literature yourself, Josie. You're coming up with good ideas.
Mm-hmm. And I do work for a publishing company.
Right. And before we get started, I did want to say
25 years in publishing.
We don't have time for the Hollywood Report, so we'll have to hear about Motley Crue concert next time. But mm-hmm. Sunday, Josie will be introducing me as part of the Inside Jokes Skid Row Studios Live. If you're in L.A., if you're in Turkey, Algeria, you might miss it. But if you're in L.A., go to the Hollywood and Highland Center, Inside Jokes, right at the Man Chinese Theater. I'm doing a show where it's all the Skid Row Thursday night comedy lineup. We have Nestor Rodriguez and Simon Kaufman from the Stories Public Radio, which is on at 9. That's like a bunch of people in a New York barbershop talking shit. And then at 10, they've got Eidenberger, and they have like 5 comics, April O'Connor, Brian Talmo, Preston Blaine, Megan Rice, and David Berger are going to be on the show. And that's like anarchy. That's a bunch of people just, they shock people. They shocked me with a shock collar when I was on the show. And they have a...
They're going to need them.
And they have a structure because we just have a free-form discussion. They actually have a structure.
Who's going to get in the fist fight?
Nobody's going to get in a fist fight. I don't know. Well, we'll see. Hopefully not. And I did want to say bravo for your performance at Whiskey Blue this Friday night.
Thank you. That was a really fun show.
The new Hollywood nightclub.
And
I was at work.
I know.
And I like Whiskey Blue. That might be the after party for the Inside Jokes on Sunday. Maybe we'll come down there and have a couple drinks.
It's already, the club's catching on quick.
Well, yeah. I was going to say, because
I'm starting to see already a lot of posts of other friends' bands that are playing.
Right.
And it's cool. We need a rock club.
Because I know the last rock club.
No hip hop.
The last rock club, the one that you got banned from, which we will.
Loaded, we can say it.
Yeah, I remember. I was seeing your band with Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
At Loaded, and she's like, I love Josie, I hate Loaded. So Whiskey Blue is a lot more spacious than Loaded. I don't want to say anything about Loaded, but...
I'm still not really keen on the music, but now I have two different friends DJing on two different days, so I keep getting fucking dragged back to Loaded.
Right. But Whiskey Blue is a lot...
I was there last week.
Yeah, it's like this nexus.
No big deal.
Just keeps
Xavier, he's confused. Are you familiar with the rock clubs?
No, I'm from Boston.
Okay.
You're from Boston.
East Coast, yeah.
Can I ask him a few questions? I know you have a list.
Please. Please, Josie, go right ahead.
Well, I know you have a lot to ask him, but
I've been researching thoroughly, mostly on Nikki, but on the call. Excuse me.
My best friend writes for the Examiner, and I did a couple pieces for them. I don't know if you know Adina.
No. And actually,
great question, Josie.
Yeah, but I actually am not writing with the Examiner anymore. Yeah, I had an accident. I slipped and fell in dog piss at a pet store and tore my rotator cuff.
What?
Yeah, I tore my rotator cuff right through. And so
people
I
need to clean up after their pets.
Wait, so did this inspire the werewolf novel?
No. It inspired me to give up my column because I couldn't lift my arm to write.
Damn.
So I was like, yeah, I kind of got to take a break.
That sucks.
Yeah. So it might come back. We'll see.
Yeah, I didn't have enough time to do it, but I like them. They're cool.
Yeah, they pay a penny a click.
Do they really?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So I had one of the top five columns in Los Angeles. I think I made $80 for the year.
Woohoo!
So you're okay.
I'm doing well. I mean, nobody worry.
Right.
I'm good.
At least you're getting paid something. Yeah. You know, we're all artists. We know what that's like.
Was there any other questions, Josie?
You're going to talk to him about the book. We were talking about it earlier. It's pretty interesting. Go ahead.
Well, no, because it was funny because
if he was from New York, I had a whole bunch of questions never mind.
Right.
But
where's the best pizza in New York?
I know that.
Okay. All right. So anyway, I'm glad you guys got to know each other, because it's funny. About a year ago, it's probably almost exactly a year ago, I listened to the show again, is when Nicole Six was on our show, and that was actually the first time that you two had met.
Yes.
Josie and Nicole, you never met, although
we
you've
met
been
on
at,
the show.
You've been at the same parties.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We see each other all the time. Now.
We technically had been at, it was Johnny and Lacey's 4th of July party. It really is exactly almost the same time.
Yeah, it was last 4th of July.
She saw you raiding the refrigerator and...
I was there with the fireball and vodka.
Oh, yeah.
But as you can see, a year later, things have changed. She's blonde now.
For the time.
So, Nicole, so blondes have more fun? It seems to be
blondes
working.
Are distinctively more popular. Like, no one cares about anything else. They're just like, blonde.
Really?
Just people
they're
adding
like that
me,
with
boom,
boobs, too.
Boom.
Well, we know that about boobs. And, is that true, Josie? Because I know you've been blonde and you've been brunette.
Yeah, but, you know, with the boobs, it really doesn't matter. It's the same thing.
Right.
Well, and I've asked
Nicole,
all my male
beautiful
friends.
Boobs. Don't start with that.
Josie's
Nicole,
boobs are bigger.
Well, so are Xavier's, but that gets to my next question, because you wrote the column for me and we corresponded on email, and then you were telling me all this great stuff about you want to be on the show. Mm-hmm. And so then I went on your Amazon page. First off, honestly, I didn't know you were gay.
Oh, okay.
I do now. It's pretty obvious.
I was at Tori Amos with you last night.
Really? Why? Well, I didn't. Well, we didn't.
That
we
makes
didn't
you
run
gay
into each other.
Too.
I know. But,
No. Well, here's a Tori Amos.
What was my response about what you said about the line being longer?
Little joke that there wasn't a big line in the men's room. My friend had an extra Tori Amos ticket. I love Tori Amos. I'm a sensitive heterosexual, which is horrible. You get laid all the time. I mean,
all the time.
We're both beautiful bears.
I'm married, so yeah.
Oh, okay. But when you were saying I have
a bear in my cave, yeah.
Because you're known for your, that's what I was getting at, your gay erotica.
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually started writing it because the fucking LA Weekly, they've gotten me into so much trouble. back in 2010, they wrote a cover story about women writing gay erotica.
Right.
For gay men. And, I was like, what? If they can do it, I can do it. And I'm a writer. I write horror, though, and I don't write genre, you know, sexual horror. So I put it in my drawer and I forgot about it. And then it kept haunting me. So I wrote a Christmas story of all things, a Christmas romance, which is completely outside.
Like Santa Claus flies down the window.
Was it gay or
it was gay. And I did it I set it in 1940s. It was like a 1940s.
I saw this movie.
Yeah.
It's not the Christmas story. It's a whole different story.
I know. Trust me.
And I wrote it and they needed a happily ever after. I'm really, I don't do happily ever afters. And so I read it to a friend of mine. I was working at a sex shop at the time, and over the cock and ball torture toys, she was like, you know what? You need to have him come back. They need to be together.
Are you sure
in the
that's
end.
Where it was at?
That's exactly where it was. I remember.
Well, we're talking about cock and ball torture.
I remember.
Clear memory.
Yeah. You get my sarcasm, don't you?
If I was standing by it, I'd remember.
You'd remember. Yeah. You only need to see urethra plugs a couple times. You remember. And
what?
Let's
sidetrack here. Urethra plugs?
Yeah, that's exactly
Nicole seems
where
to know
what
I'm
I don't, but it sounds painful. I'm sure yeah.
it
sounds
really painful.
Right. So explain what urethra plugs are for the dark market audience.
Oh, boy.
A plug for your...
Yeah, I figured, but
they actually look like look like a keychain. Like there's actually a ring at the end of them.
Oh, so you can have it with you all the time.
Yeah,
and then like just from when you need it in that special bathroom.
And you said it's long too.
Yeah, they have different sizes because it's basically going to stretch the urethral hole. So it just start off really small, and then there'll be like really fat ones like that.
And what does that do?
It usually, from my understanding of it, there's men who do it. There is some sort of pleasurable sensation. It is like, I guess, having your cock fucked from inside. I've never done it. But then what it's used for?
I don't even have one. It sounds painful.
So it'd be like losing your virginity.
This is a urethral plug on the screen right here. Ooh, with a beat.
Yep.
Jenny's
back.
Thanks,
Jenny.
The third one in is very, I'm very familiar.
Jenny, our producer, seems very familiar with the urethra plugs.
Yep.
Are you really?
Welcome back, Jenny. Okay. We haven't seen you for a while.
Yeah.
I'm glad to do your show again.
She's been moonlighting other shows.
She's been doing Ginger's show, and this might have, wow.
That's awful.
Look what happened.
Oh!
Wait, click on that. What's going on there?
Be careful with your toys.
Yeah.
Safe sex.
Right. See the keychain?
Let's see if we can describe this for the Dark Mark Show audience listening on iTunes and radio.
Stainless steel.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you can. You can get all
I'm
the
sure
stuff.
Our sponsor well, has well, books
that's,
about
that's
it.
That's eBay on UK. I liked, you know what, if you manufacture urethra plugs and you want to sponsor the Dark Mark Show, go to darkmarkshow@gmail.com, which reminds me, we're audible.com is our sponsor. We have two writers. I love audiobooks. Go to audibletrial.com/darkmarkshow or darkmarkshow.com. And you get a free book, free audiobook, and free 30-day trial. Nicole, do you have any books on Audible?
I was going to say, Stephen King's books on Audible are really good.
Right, they do.
They're read by professional actors, and they're fucking amazing.
Right, and they have comedy albums, they have plays and all stuff. Also, damatees.com. They don't have urethra plug shirts, but they have porn star shirts. They have Buck Angel shirts.
They
have Tracy Lord shirts. They have great punk rock shirts. They have a shirt that's... Misfits. It's not Misfits. It's Misfits. It's Boba Fett with the devil lock.
Awesome.
Great. So go to damatees.com. Tell them you heard from the Dark Mark Show. You save 10%. So from urethra plugs, we're going to catch up with Nicole Six. Now, I don't know if you know Nicole. I'm sure you probably researched to see who you were going to be on with. Nicole was she was a journalist, and she because a lot of people that was a year ago. We were at a different studio. You were a comic book writer for quite some time.
Pop culture journalist.
And
then I was working with my cousin on comics, but my cousin went back to Colorado, so I'm just doing prose like I was doing originally.
And Nina the Intergalactic Slayer, is that still...
Nina the Intergalactic Demon Slayer is still alive and well.
And you can get that online?
Yeah, you can find it online. My site in Florida that I still do TNT work covering them with, they put it out. So it's actually published. It's just published online. So it's a Google certified site.
But you guys do similar work. I mean, not with urethra plugs, but you guys do.
I don't write
horror.
Erotica, but we did. I'm like you. I didn't write. I actually, because I'm a woman and all that Twilight shit, I purposely make my sex scenes as disturbing as possible just to fuck with people.
Could you give us an example of that, Nicole?
Anyway. In Carousel Boys, there's this femme fatale, and it's like this really weird, it becomes a rape scene, but it's actually just like all about power. And she's, you know how in movies, the female victim will always take that moment where the male victim or the male killer has decided he's going to like undress her or something. And that's when she kicks him in the balls, runs away, but she always does a moment too soon.
Right.
So then he just chases after her.
Right.
This was my homage to that. So the femme fatale has the guy, and then like he waits until right when she's about to, and then he squeezes the trigger and actually says, looks like someone just blew their load, and then attacks her.
Interesting. So just straight like 50 Shades of Grey, we're going to.
Well, and then she gets like raped by snakes and they explode out of her. So that was an homage to Temple of Doom, though. So it had nothing to do with really rape. It's just kind of creepy, rapey stuff.
It was
the whole sequence is about
power.
Really
into that. Like the whole snakes and explosions. Tentacles and all that, you know.
Yeah, no, I understand that. Was that an influence, Japanese? Or are you just.
Temple of Doom, flat out.
Just Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
You're like, how can I put this in a vagina and have it explode?
Now, while he's in the middle of throttling her after that sequence, a Voodoo Queen comes and then brings him back to her lair to show him true power, and then puts him in like this weird rabbit skin cod piece thing, and then summons the Sabbat, which then is this snake demon that.
And this is Carousel Boys. You were telling us about that. I didn't mean to interrupt, but you were telling us about that last year, and that's still available on Kindle.
I'm actually editing it, making it much better, but yeah, it's still out there. Okay. And it'll be out in print eventually. It's just a matter of time.
Okay. So you've got so this new book, which is
it's a short story.
Yes. It's a short story, Killing Jars. What is Killing Jars about? We like that. Now, can people order that little book?
I have to always self-publish first before I release these.
Right.
So that I'm protected. I'll read a little.
Okay. Okay, everybody prepare to be scared.
It's not going
to
scare
me. On the edge of my seat.
Jack, the light feminine whisper called through the darkness. Help me, Jack. I need you. Jack groaned, getting up from his warm bed, despite the protests of his tired body. The urgent and fearful beckoning leading him onward. Help me, Jack, I continued to beg. Help me, please. Please help me, Jack. The cellar was full of jars. His wife's growing obsession over canning had started innocently enough, just a few seasonal jams and sauces, but it had now grown into a tall, pickled archive of vegetables and meats. It was cold in the cellar tonight. Jack could even see his breath frosting over the glasses as he made his way through the stacks of rotten brine. There, sitting on its own empty case of dust and cobwebs, was a single monarch butterfly. It was stunning, an unearthly creature, and Jack let out a gasp despite himself, hesitating in slight awe before drawing near. Her wings were the most brilliant pale blue Jack had ever seen, and they transfixed him almost hypnotically as she fluttered around helplessly within the jar. Help me, Jack, she whispered, the pale frosty vapor of his own breath hanging between them, chasing small crystalline veins of ice up her glass. I need you. Jack nodded, gently gripping the jar and untwisting the top, watching awestruck and shivering as she flew forth and flitted about, finally returning to land on his trembling pale cheek with the softest of kisses. Thank you, Jack, she whispered into him, letting him feel the power and soft femininity of her true form. And now I need something else. What? Jack asked in that moment, both her eager champion and slave. Free me. Blood, red and slick, spilled from the prostitute's stomach. I'm just going to stop there.
Whoa! Ooh,
that's what it's about.
Interesting. So, literal killing jars.
Literal killing jars.
Interesting.
Vessels. It gets a little spiritual later on, and it fucks with your head.
That's good. So where does somebody order that?
It's available on Kindle for 99 cents, but if you're going to the Bar Sinister Anniversary Party, you're getting one for free.
Oh, really? Oh, that's going to be in the gift bag?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. Good for you.
They always do great gift bags.
They do. No, that's good. That's going to be great. How did you hook up with them?
Oh, they were asking for art to be donated, and I'm all, well, what if I give you a short story? So.
Right. And so you got to sit there and self-print 400 of those?
450. I have to bind them. The printing shop kind of printed them a little off, but I kind of like it because it gives them more of a Marquis de Sade type deal.
Definitely. I like that.
So, so that's great. I know last year I read part of your story, and it's a lot creepier when you read it. I like it. It's good. I tried to do it in my creepiest voice, but it didn't quite work. And
help me, Jack.
So, Xavier, now we were talking about you. Now you told me you used to be a dom. Is that right?
Yeah, back in Boston when I was it started off as my first introduction to the adult world was as a phone sex operator as a woman. And,
you mentioned that too. That's you.
Want to hear it?
Yeah. Can you give us a little bit of your woman voice? We got to hear this.
No, I can't do it. I haven't done it.
Come
in so
on,
long.
You're on radio. This is perfect.
We
want to
know. I want to know.
Not tonight. But
But your woman voice fooled people.
Oh, yeah. I was one of the most highly requested women in that worked there. Right. And I figured if I had a feminine voice and it was something that I was insecure about, I figured why not make money off of it? And so I did. And then that led me to working at a sex shop in Boston, a really small, really upscale, really nice shop. And I started to train as a dungeon master and started learning how to be a dom and how to make money doing that. So I did that all through school, and it helped me be able to buy books and stuff. It was nothing that I brought into my personal life. It's not something that I'm necessarily personally interested in, but I'm interested in the psychology.
Is your husband personally interested in that?
No.
Okay.
No. The psychology is interesting, isn't it?
It is. I think, you know, when you have
there's definitely personality types.
There is. And I think what I always found interesting was that I'd have a professor or a teacher or a lawyer at my house dancing around naked in lingerie with a butt plug up his ass. And, you know, I'd be like with
everybody's
my books ready to go to school. And I'm like, okay. You know, so I was always interested when they'd be calling their kids or their wives from my apartment. Right. And being like, oh, I'm going to come pick you up and take you to see Santa.
Well, let me ask you, since you know both sides intimately, what's the difference between heterosexual fantasies and homosexual fantasies? Is there really a difference or?
I don't know. I don't know if that there's.
Did you experience like a difference? Like.
I think fantasy is fantasy. I think everybody's fantasy life is wild and untamed. And I just think that in my experience, a lot of people, the people that you look at that are the most powerful or the people who are in the most control are the ones that are up to some sort of shenanigans.
Right.
So, you know.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
For instance, if you look in this studio, I can tell you Nicole probably has a way wilder sex life than Josie. And then Jenny, the producer, is very quiet. She's the wildest
animal,
one of them all.
Right?
Am I right?
She's got somebody tied up in her basement.
No, she does under her desk.
He's tied up to the chair right over there. So.
She's stepping on someone in our stilettos right now.
What's the difference between, gay erotica and straight erotica? Or do you know? Because I haven't read a lot of gay erotica, so I'm not really sure.
I haven't either. I actually hate erotica. I'm not an erotica.
So you're done with it?
No, I still write it, but it's not my. To me, erotica is the Marquis de Sade and the story of O and classic erotica, and that's what I aim for. And erotica.
So it's been a way for him to make money.
And it's how I got published.
Isn't that why everyone gets into porn?
I know why everyone gets into porn. But I started getting published that way. It wasn't what I expected. It wasn't what I wanted. And so now I'm actually turning my focus back to horror. And I have a great audience. I have great fans. I have people who love my stuff. I've had to really work at it. My stuff is not typically the formula of gay erotica. And I've struggled with that. I've struggled. I've earned every fan that I have.
What's the formula?
You know, there's an alpha male, there's a beta male. The alpha male rescues the beta male from some.
They share a blanket.
It's cold. Some evil woman.
Or, you know, he's tied up and all of a sudden he gets rescued.
He has wounds that need to be dressed. But first we have to take that shirt off.
Yeah, she and I are very much alike because the Twilight shit and all of that, it makes me cringe. So it's really hard for me to write happily ever afters. It's hard for me. In my happily ever afters, my publisher says, he goes, yeah, but that's not. Really,
there's always like a little.
Always.
That's good. Well, that makes it more interesting, I would think.
So, yeah. But I love it. It's good. And I have a lot of stuff coming out this year, so I'm excited about
it. Is Lily a horror book?
It is. I'll give a very short explanation of it. My old publisher asked for a Father's Day story. And so
you're good with holidays. You're like the Hallmark card of like gay erotica.
And I challenge myself, you know.
Give the gifts that'll keep giving.
Yes.
Exactly.
You have a Thanksgiving story? Well, as a matter of fact, I got your turkey
that's right here.
Easy,
right?
Yeah.
My second story was a Valentine's story, actually, but let's not get into that. Anyway, so Lily, they
was
were
it
asking.
Bloody?
It was a bloody Valentine's Day. So,
how did you guess?
Exactly.
So they
the woman wearing red.
They were requesting me to write something for Father's Day, like dads need love too, and how hard it is to be a dad and in love.
Aww.
And so in my head, I was like, what would be, and it had to have a Father's Day theme. So I wrote this story about a little girl who gets dragged into the woods by a wolf and returns to him on Father's Day a year later, different and changed. And so in my head, I was like, a father. That's
She's
a,
howling.
That's hard. Yeah. You know, you have a kid who's a werewolf. That's a struggle.
Right.
So I sent it and they were like, yeah, but it's not really Father's Day. I said, well, she comes back on Father's Day. So right. they released it as its own thing.
Right.
Which was kind of cool.
But
so.
It's totally parental because it's about the struggle about teenagers and what you're like when you start getting older. By 13, I was a monster.
Right. You know, and a father's love yeah. for his kid, you know.
Yeah, and
you were a monster at 13, Nicole. I find that hard to believe. Really,
hormones make everybody a werewolf.
Really, and let me
it always happens around the fucking full moon, so it really does make you a werewolf.
Well, it's interesting you say that because for some reason, and this has been borne out this year, I've noticed, and our friend Elizabeth has confirmed this, that every time there's a full moon, I seem to have a great night. Women find me attractive on a full moon. Like every time I'm like at a club and they're like, all the girls are like, wow, you know, they're flirty. They're very receptive.
They're like this.
It's like,
God,
yeah,
damn.
There's a full moon. So I don't know if I'm a werewolf or not, but, I was going to ask you both
the
of you.
The reason why the moon affects humans is that it pulls on the tides. And we're, you know, like fucking right. 98% water. So right. it right. affects us.
Then I've got a lot of water weight, but I was going to.
Well, you are a water sign.
Scorpio?
Yeah.
Oh, you remembered.
Yeah, I remember. Goes with your eyes.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. But I was going to ask you and you, because you're pop culture experts, and we're going to talk a little Comic-Con here in the little time we have left, but why, everything's vampire now. Mm-hmm. Why werewolves take a backseat to vampires? They've never been quite as popular as vampires.
Most people just aren't into furries.
Is that what it is?
And I think vampires are sexual, and I think that's what people are attracted to is dark, their dark sexuality, and it's
right. hard to be turned on by dogs.
Werewolves are like the bikers.
Yeah.
right. But now every vampire thing sort of throws a werewolf in there.
Yeah.
Twilight, True Blood.
They make great sidekicks. Once in a while, some fan base actually likes the werewolf, but it's just harder for people to relate to the animal. It's easier to relate to the human shell.
Well, and which brings me to another thing, because I would imagine werewolves are popular with the gay community because of the bear thing. The hairy men are much more coveted in the gay community than in the straight female community, I've noticed. I'm very... I'm a bear. I can go in. I get hit on. I'm a wolf.
Woof.
Yeah, I get hit on by men all the time. Beautiful, amazing-looking men I wish I looked like. And then straight women, it's not appealing. Why is that? Why are men?
He asks every gay guest same question.
Yeah, so I'm just curious.
I'm gonna do a montage with that question coming.
Please do.
Out.
Yeah, we're gonna have that going in.
Why don't women like bears?
Then why don't they?
Daddy asks all the black women that come in why all the black women love
well,
him.
Well, black women like that too. I don't know.
That's actually it's about. You know, fear. You're kind of too much for me to handle. I'm scared of you.
You're not scared.
No, I'm a little scared of you.
You're
a Scorpio bear.
I love that you're flirting with me, but that you're not scared of me.
I'm fucking with you.
I know you're fucking and flirting with me. I understand. I know. I was trying to go with that moment for a second, but you won't even let me go that far. That's how it was.
Well, I keep everything above the board.
But you're going to be in a bear anthology soon?
I am, yeah. Right. You know,
I did my research.
I wrote a column for All Bear for a long time, and I interviewed different bear groups from all over the world. So I actually learned a lot. I'm not active in the bear community at all, but I'm too busy.
married, people.
He's married. He's married. Yeah. He's not active in the bear community.
He's a hibernating bear.
But I'll take you to a bear club with me, Josie.
Okay. You show me the photos.
Actually, Josie sits a real like young shirtless, hairless, really young. I would say cubs, but like hairless cubs now.
Newborns.
Right? Really? Yeah. You're getting younger and younger and younger as you go along. Am I wrong?
As I go along, as I get older.
Yeah. So you're the bear.
So speaking of which, Comic-Con.
Comic-Con, okay. Now, this is the second year in a row.
Cartoons that I watch with my boyfriends.
Nicole 6 is not going to be a Comic-Con, which is a surprise.
I will not be a Comic-Con.
So how many years in a row did you go to Comic-Con? Because you were very active in the
Comic-Con. Since I've been out here, so this will 3 years Comic-Con, 2 years not Comic-Con.
Now, where did you come from? I forget.
Colorado,
that's right. I forgot.
I drove through your... Oh, yeah.
My homeland.
Yeah, Josie was on the rodeo riding all sorts of animals mm-hmm. a few weeks ago. So here, I was looking at what was going on. First off, the Star Wars Episode 7. Mm-hmm. I could care less. The prequels,
they're not going to be there anyway.
The prequels were horrible.
I think 7 will be better than the prequels because I know how Disney handled Pirates of the Caribbean. So I just keep picturing Pirates of the Caribbean in space.
That doesn't sound good.
I like
good
Pirates analogy. Of the Caribbean.
The first one.
Yeah.
Now they're coming out with 5. Do we really need another one?
I keep watching them.
Oh, you like pirates?
I relate to Captain Jack Sparrow. Most people are attracted to him. I think you are.
You are Captain Jack Sparrow. Okay, so that makes sense. Xavier, what do you think? Star Wars Episode 7, you're into it?
Yeah, I don't really care. Okay. I thought that the prequels were kind of ridiculous.
But, they were horrible.
I would watch it.
This is going to be better,
we're
I'm sure.
We're all going to watch it. Yeah, come on.
I don't know. It's funny. And it's funny because people, I know so many rabid Star Wars fans, and they'll be like, okay, the first two weren't good, but the third one was good. And then you're like, nah. And all you have to say is like, Padme, no! They're like, okay,
the third one was the worst of the three.
It was pretty bad.
It was terrible.
Right. So Josie's actually excited about the new show, Gotham, which is a Batman show without Batman. Now, that sounds fucking horrible, too.
It's horrible. I'm not excited about it.
You've been about 5 times on the show.
I don't know anyone is excited about it.
I got paid to work on it.
So pop culture-wise, comic book-wise...
I'm not going to say it sucks.
Pop culture-wise, horror-wise, comic book-wise, what are we looking forward to? What do you guys think? Because I can sit here and pot shot all these fucking things all day long, but what are you excited about? Get me excited about something.
I want to see Lucy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lucy
does
look good.
That's going to be so good.
Yeah. Lucy does.
Oh, man.
I like Luke Besson a lot, so, and it looks fucking amazing.
Right. I'm a big fan of his, too, and so that's
the concept is amazing, because it's true. Right. I mean...
Well, first of all, when you said Lucy for a second, I thought you meant I Love Lucy, but...
I mean, all-powerful, ass-kicking Lucy.
Right.
That's gonna be hot, man.
And you sort of relate to that, too.
Oh, yeah, I love that. I mean, I watched Limitless because I enjoy seeing people who use more than just the average amounts of your brain because I try very hard to. I think everyone who reads uses slightly more of their brain.
And let's be honest, Luc Besson probably watched that movie. Is like, I could do that with Scarlett Johansson and more ass-kicking.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and it's better because it's Besson. I've never heard it said out loud. So let me get a little French for you. So Luc Besson will do it much better because if you've looked at his other work, he makes excellent ass-kicking.
I'm very much a Luc Besson fan. I even like Angela, which is not an ass-kicking film, but is.
I haven't seen it yet. It's on Netflix. I've been planning to.
It's not the same. It's very romantic. I don't know. It touched my emotions, but I'm more sensitive than you are. I don't know if you would like it or not. It's not quite that ass-kicking.
I like his women. He writes women I can relate to, and that's pretty hard for men usually.
Right. Do you have to go, Josie? You're looking at the clock.
I do have to go, but not quite yet.
Okay, well, let us know.
I'll make an announcement.
Well, please do. So, Xavier, what are you, pop culture-wise, because, I mean, everything's comic books. Everything's going to Comic-Con. Pop culture-wise, besides your own stuff, and we're going to get some more... What else you're working on? What are you looking forward to?
I'm really excited for. What's really got me excited is Penny Dreadful. I think that it's an incredible.
I got to see that.
I like that they're bringing in all the old school classic, you know, horror from the Penny Dreadfuls.
It's beautifully done.
It's interesting for me because the company that I work for, their publishing goes all the way back to these early London papers, and we have some of them at our office. That's pretty cool. I mean, they have everything from poems to, you name it, to short stories. Mm. It's cool. Little sketches. And
it's beautifully done. I think it's sublime, actually. I think that everything about it is fantastic. So that's gotten me excited.
And the cinematography is amazing.
But you're into, just leaning from this conversation I've had with you for the last 3 or 5 minutes, you're into other time periods.
Yeah, I'm into things that are beautifully done and beautifully tragic.
Look on either side of you. Yes, I am too.
And tragic. I think I horror tragic.
Exactly too. There you go.
I think beautifully tragic and horrifically tragic attracts me. And everything about that show is very... sad, but also very scary. And I don't think I've been scared by a possession scene since The Exorcist. And I got to say that the Penny Dreadful scenes are great.
Really? Yeah, because there's been a lot of Exorcists. I mean, that's like a new
everybody tries to recreate it every time.
Right.
Ghosts are hot right now. Witches are trying to take over, but...
So that's what I was going to get to.
I've seen so many ghosts.
Vampires are coming out.
I want to say something. I'm so excited.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, one of our guests, Amazon Eve is going to be on American Horror Story. And my good friend Ben Wolf, who I've worked with a few times, he's the little guy that was the baby on the first one. And I knew they were going to cast him when you mentioned Amazon Eve. I'm like, they're going to cast Ben. Right. And they did the call sheet was online today. Right. And sure enough, their names were there. And I looked on their pages and they're in New Orleans.
Eve's name is so cool. Eve's name was on there?
Yeah.
And by the way, if you guys don't know who Amazon Eve is, now Amazon Eve is the world's tallest model. She's 6'10" in bare feet.
So later on tonight, I'm going to give him a shout out. It's so exciting.
And if you go to our archives, first time she was on the show, we wrestled right over there. And
it was funny.
Very close contest. It was funnier than the actual camera work that you had. Plus, we were both wearing black, so nobody could see what was going on.
I'm a camera person. What can I say?
You could just hear my cries of pain. But Amazon Eve is, and your friend is a little person?
Very small.
Okay.
Very, very small. We did a play together called Madonna Christmas Carol, and he played Little Timmy.
Madonna Christmas Carol.
It was all drag queens. No, I was Joan Crawford.
That's where you played Joan Crawford.
Okay. Yeah. It was... I was the only straight person there. It was great. We had the best
makeup
people.
And Madonna's Christmas Carol, you're the only straight person there? Go figure.
Half of them were on RuPaul's Drag Race. Right. We had one of them's a very famous Madonna impersonator. Another's a Michael Jackson impersonator. Right. It's very talented people. It was fun.
And how many times have you booked them on the show?
We've talked about it. Yes. Eddie DeLight.
Okay. I would love to have... I love interesting people, and you guys are definitely interesting people. And so
we should probably have Amazon Eve and Ben Wolf come when they're done filming. That would be fun.
That'll be probably next year.
Good show.
But no, that'd be 6 weeks.
No. She said that she's going to be gone for a while.
Wow! I think she's gonna take that long. That many episodes?
She's in a lot of episodes. She's recurring. Yeah.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So
cool. Good for her.
But enough of that, Xavier. Now. Yeah. When Josie gets on a tangent, it's hard to stop her. But what are the other books that you have coming out? You said you have a lot of stuff coming out.
I have good stuff to say.
Right. And she's wearing a great jewelry.
I know.
This one I really like.
Oh, wait, you're wearing jewelry. I'm sorry.
Look at all of it. There's like that green.
Yeah, the green one's great.
I'm just watching the curves of the anyway. So what? they're mesmerizing. So
that's because you're the straight man in the room.
I am the straight man in the room. Yes.
They're looking at my jewelry. You're like.
Right. I understand. No, trust me. I had a similar experience last night at Tori Amos. I was hoping maybe to meet some sensitive bohemian woman, and I was in between the two
you
guys.
Met lots of gay men.
Two queens to my left, two queens to my right.
He did a sort of
fairy tale. We all sort of sniffled and got a little misty.
Did you have a group hug?
We bonded.
Hug it out.
We didn't hug. We didn't quite get that far, but one of the guys was trying to play footsie with me. That's a whole thing. Anyway, so. So what other projects do you have coming out?
Yeah, I have several short stories coming out that are going to be part of collections. I have a best of, one of them is going to be a best of erotica collection that's coming out. I'm really excited about it. I have the a bear story coming out in a bear collection. Mm-hmm. I have like a Downton Abbey period short story coming out in a period collection. And then I also have a full-length dark fantasy horror book coming out, full-length novel, the first of a series coming out this year.
And what is that about?
It's called The Elementals, and it's going to be a series of books about a group of male friends that each represent an element. Right. And it's kind of inspired by The Witches of Eastwick in that they come together, and by them coming together, they attract the dark element. And then they have to kind of find a way to get rid of what they've summoned, and they're all being seduced simultaneously by him.
Wow.
So the first book is about to come out, and then I'm going to write three other books.
Right.
Do you write them all at once, or do you trickle them out or in spurts? Do you get in a writing mode and you do a whole bunch of books and writing and then you're burnt out?
No, I try to, they trickle out. Yeah, they trickle out.
Are you like in the middle of one story and then a thought for another story comes up?
Yeah, actually, right now.
You put that away and then you write the other story and you come back.
Sometimes, like right now, I'm writing a warrior barbarian short story, and I wrote that while writing a short piece for a radical eco-feminist zine.
Wow.
So I wanted to really see if I could do it. And
Did they ask you to, or did you approach them?
It was an open call. Actually, they came into where I work and dropped off a call for submissions, and everybody looked at me and they're like, are you going to do it? And I'm like, why not? Let me see if I can. And sure enough, I researched ecofeminism and radical vegan ecofeminism, and I got really involved in it. I realized that I've read a lot of works by authors who write that when I was a kid, actually. So I channeled that, and something came. And I wouldn't have done it if the character
Why were you reading ecofeminism when you were a kid?
I didn't realize that I was. There's a writer, Ursula K. Le Guin, who is a big writer of that, which I didn't know, but I read a lot of her work as a kid, and sure enough, I wouldn't have written it if the character didn't come forth.
Right.
If I didn't sit down, and I literally sat down, and her voice came to me, the first sentence came out, her name came, and I was like, there's a voice here.
That first sentence is important. Yeah. That's related. When you know you have a book or a story.
Right.
And the same thing with you. You have to have the character first, or are you with the situation first? Or
I have, I usually get both at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like my next story, I was inspired while watching a movie, and so it's going to be about a dashboard totem that gets blood splattered on it in the middle of a murder, and so this little totem's going to go get revenge.
Whoa, that's cool.
Kind of like a little Chucky
So then I'll develop those characters. I'll develop the killer. I'll develop the victim.
Killer totem.
Well, and then the totem itself is not going to probably have much personality. It's just going to do its thing.
Are you going to go to places where no totem is gone?
Come on. Keanu Reeves can play that totem. Come on. But Xavier, is this,
I love you guys. Peace out.
Bye, Josie.
See
you next week, I think.
Look at those Marvel Comics pants.
Woo! Anyway,
take the rest of your Perrier. Come on, enjoy.
Woo!
Anyway, Xavier, is this your first novel?
No. My first novel actually came out last year, and it was called Velvet. Speaking of inspiration, I really love design, and I love style, and I actually read a lot of Vogue, not for anything other than the fact that I'm inspired by the design of fashion. And the last page of it had a velvet shoe, and they wrote a paragraph that said, in the 14th century, you could be killed for wearing velvet. And the minute I read that, an entire novel came to me.
Right.
That's amazing. About
the sumptuary laws of the 14th century, of which you could not wear velvet unless you were royal, and you could be put to death for it. And I wrote a whole book called Velvet.
Right.
But that's where the inspiration came from.
So good. Then.
That's how it works. So really, I can tell you're a good writer. You're actually a talented writer, not just like writing for whatever reasons, people who aren't talented write, I don't know, fame.
you heard some of her writing, not too bad.
Yeah, I love that. I love what she read.
But when you're genuinely a creative writer, it's just you get that trickle of inspiration, and then you write it, then you edit the shit out of it.
Speaking of trickle of inspiration, I never asked you, how did you find out about me to write the article about me? I'm curious about that.
You know what? It was something to do with Facebook. I think I had liked something which led me to your page. And the column really started off as a sex advice column. And then what happened was I really wanted to interview a bunch of different interesting people that were doing interesting things.
Right.
And so I saw that you were doing something different. And that's what led me to that. And then I ended up interviewing presidential candidates and then Buck Angel.
Which presidential candidate?
Fred Karger, who was the first gay Republican presidential.
Oh, yeah, I heard him, yeah.
Yeah, so a lot, and it was just, it went from, you know, and all of a sudden I'm like, this isn't a sex column anymore. And so I started covering fringe culture so I could interview everybody.
I'm sorry we were late because we have so much to talk about. We could go on for hours. I want to have you back, definitely. Next time you have a project, and, you know, Nicole, you're welcome at any time. We're already talking about you and a whole different kind of show. But, Nicole, how do people get a hold of you and get a hold of your work?
Go to nicolesix.com. I make it very simple. Right. And then there's a link to my Twitter on there from there. And if you have to find me on Facebook, just Google it.
If you have to.
And Xavier, how do people get a hold of you?
Two places. XavierAxelson.com. I kept it simple, too. And my publisher's website, which is SeventhWindow.com.
SeventhWindow.com. Mm-hmm. And, of course, go to GothComedian.com. And that's XavierAxelson.
Correct.
And Axelson, there's got to be a story behind that, right?
For next time.
Okay, well, we got 30 seconds. Okay. All right, everybody, come down Sunday night if you're in LA at Inside Jokes. Check out Skid Row Studios Live and have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye-bye.
Bye.